If your online marketing is lacking the energy it takes to get your business off the ground, the Malden Group is Atlanta's premier digital marketing agency, specializing in dynamic online marketing. Whether your need is website development, SEO, PPC, lead generation, social media marketing, or reputation management, the Malden Group can take your digital marketing from the bottom to the top. For more information, visit us at themaldengroup.com or call us at 678-846-2306. That's 678-846-2306.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio. North Fulton Business Radio is presented by the Malden Group, web design and internet marketing. Your number one spot when you want to go from the bottom to the top.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. This is your lucky day. We are broadcasting from the Roswell Infinity Studio here at Digital Ignition. I am Mike Salmon, alongside John Ray. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
You know, John, I understand you're going on vacation again, so I got to give you a hard time. Because
Come on now.
You're like Donald Trump. You are always on vacation.
Well, but at least it doesn't cost any money to protect me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Did you ever think you'd be compared to Donald Trump?
No, I didn't. But
for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. I've got some great guests. We've got some great guests today in the studio. Joining us is Chris Mixon. He's from the Bank of North Georgia, a division of Synovus Bank, and Don Peterson with the Swing Factory Golf Studio. But before we get to them, I want to remind you that the show is brought to you by our newest partner, the Malden Group. When it comes to spending money on your marketing, your business wants the best ROI, and the Malden Group is Atlanta's leader in digital marketing services, offering strategic online solutions. The Malden Group can take your business from the bottom to the top. For more information, visit themaldengroup.com, and Malden is M-A-U-L-D-I-N, themaldengroup.com. Okay, let's start the show.
Let's do it.
Our first guest, Chris Mixon. He is Executive Vice President and Regional Community Executive with the Bank of North Georgia, a division of Synovus Bank. And good morning, Chris. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Well, you're with a bank. I think we kind of know what banks do, but give us a little broad overview of the Bank of North Georgia and Synovus.
Yeah. So banking, not a lot to describe there in terms of the industry and how it works. Maybe what folks don't know as much about Bank of North Georgia is they think of us as a traditional bank that takes deposits and loans them out, and may not make the connection that we're actually a full-service bank offering everything from investments, mortgage, commercial banking services, the most sophisticated financial instruments that you could imagine, and certainly that any of our big bank competitors offer.
I look at your title here, Chris, Executive VP. We hear that all the time, but also Regional Community Executive.
Yeah.
So what is your role there?
Well, titles in banking are in lieu of money, so you should know that first. But the role of Regional Community Executive, effectively, I'm the regional market president for our bank in Northeast Atlanta. So I'm functionally run our commercial banking operation in Northeast Atlanta, and have a dotted line reporting from our branch branch network in that area that does a great job in that geography. So effectively from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock as you move around Atlanta, if you look at it as a clock, 400 to 20.
Big area.
Big area. A lot of Chamber of Commerce dinners.
Yes, I know. I've been to a few of those with you, Chris. Now, speaking of a little piece of real estate within that territory. You've got a new building around Braves Stadium. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the signage just went up on our building maybe a month or so ago next to the Braves Stadium. And
doesn't that stadium have you can't say the name of that stadium, can you?
We call it the Braves Stadium.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Where the Braves play.
I think there's a little guerrilla warfare going on with marketing here. I think we're about to hear.
So we a couple of years ago began to do a real estate study of the various buildings that we had, and Bank of North Georgia over the years has rolled in several of our affiliate banks. They were really partner banks with us, also owned by Synovus. And we found that we had a number of headquarters of community banks within our footprint. I think we had 9 corporate headquarters that were effectively branches where we had people housed upstairs and here and there and in nooks and crannies. And so it's a really exciting time for our company because we've just done a full real estate study in Atlanta to say, how can we consolidate some of our operations? And in fact, we're moving some of our executive management team. We're moving some of our lines of business, like our corporate banking group, into that building there right at the center of the universe, apparently 285 and 75. In fact, I believe some people started moving in this week. We'll stage the move-ins over the next 30 days there.
Okay, so you're doing a little changing in terms of the branding vis-a-vis the bank names versus Synovus. Talk about that, Chris.
Yeah, we've for years you may have noticed on our signs that we read a division of Synovus Bank. We've co-branded ourselves with Synovus, which is our holding company. We've been owned by Synovus. Bank of North Georgia has been owned by Synovus since the mid-90s. Synovus' story begins in the 1800s and is a bank based out of Columbus, Georgia, as I know that you all know, and many of your listeners may know. In each of our markets, we've operated as 30 different divisions, all individually branded as local community banks. In Atlanta, that's been Bank of North Georgia. We're one of the largest Synovus divisions. And we have always co-branded the Bank of North Georgia name with Synovus. We've found that it's going to be a really exciting opportunity for us to now rebrand our entire company throughout our 5-state footprint to Synovus. We're really, really excited about this change because we think it better illustrates our capabilities as a bank. It allows people to make that shift from thinking of us as a loan and deposit factory to a full-service financial bank.
And Synovus has a very good name, good reputation. As you say, the company's been around for a long time. So for those that are customers of the Bank of North Georgia or some of the other affiliated banks that are under the Synovus name, it's not going to change anything that they do. It's just a new sign, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. In fact, you hit on a couple of things that I'd love to underscore. We were actually just named the number one most reputable financial institution in the country by American Banker. We're quite proud of that distinction. But to your point, the only thing that's really changing is our signs. What's on the outside of our building is changing. Nothing on the inside of our building, our people that our customers know and love, are not changing. Operationally, very little changes. Much of our process now involves folks at the holding company level. And so that will continue business as usual.
And in fact, there may be more benefits now because I know sometimes a lot of times banks will change names or whatever. If they're kind of coming under the same umbrella, if you will, does that mean now you have more options as far as locations or services or anything like that?
You have the same options that you've always had. So if you're a Bank of North Georgia customer now and you're at the beach and you notice that Coastal Bank of Georgia in St. Simons is a division of Synovus Bank, then you think, oh, that's my bank. It's going to make it much easier for our clients to identify that, that red Synovus sign is the same in Atlanta as it is throughout the Southeast at our other locations. So there's some great benefits to our consumer clients.
Now, Chris, we certainly want to talk about Synovus and Bank of North Georgia and what you're doing there, but we love talking to our individuals about what they do. And one of the things that is clear about you and clear about Pete, you're representative from a lot of people at Synovus, how involved you are in the community. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you do. You're a football coach and maybe what some of that background brings to work every day.
Well, I'm not sure it always brings the best qualities, but and John, I thought this was a 30-minute show, but we're going to be here a while if I start talking about football. One of the big distinctions in our company between really the folks that we hire is we look to hire community engaged individuals. And at our company, if you tell us that you're going to be coaching your kid's sports team, that's not a bad thing. We know that we're going to get an email from you at 9 o'clock at night instead of 4:30 in the afternoon, but we want our team members involved in the community. We want them visible in the community. I serve on the North Fulton Chamber Board with you. We've got representatives on many chamber boards, and I've been on many of them. North Fulton, near and dear to my heart because I live here and work here and play here and coach the best football team in North Fulton County, the 7th grade Alpharetta Raiders.
Here you go.
So shout out. Yep. So definitely, definitely that competitive spirit shows up at work. All of my team members would attest to that. We like to win. We understand competition and certainly are not afraid of it. But we have so many team members engaged in different parts of the community. One of the neatest things we've done in the past few years is partnered with Action Ministries on a Feed the Hungry campaign that we'll be kicking off in just about a month. And in the last few years, we have engaged our client base and engaged our employee base in helping us raise money that translates to meals for families. So in about 20 days, I think we start our Feed the Hungry campaign, and you'll be able to stop by any Bank of North Georgia branch and participate in that. $5 buys a box of food for a family for a week.
That's great stuff. So despite the changes, signs and names on the door, the people are still there and they don't change, and their spirit certainly doesn't change.
That's correct. That's correct. And it's an exciting time for us to be part of this rebranding in Atlanta, because I think it so communicates our capabilities, but important that people realize it's the same bankers that have helped us build this great reputation that will execute into the next generation of our name.
Our guest is Chris Mixon. He's with Bank of North Georgia, a division of Synovus Bank, here on North Fulton Business Radio, brought to you by the Malden Group. As we sit here today, Chris, it's late August of 2017. And where are we as far as this whole rebranding? What stage are we at right now? When will the rebranding kind of be complete, if you will?
Well, it will come in stages throughout the Southeast, but we'll begin changing signs in January of this coming year.
2018.
So in Atlanta, you'll see in January 2018, the signs will begin to change to Synovus. You already see one right over by the Braves Stadium now, and you'll begin to see that name a lot more. Additionally, we've been very proud of our rebranding campaign ahead of this. We ran a Super Bowl ad this year that you may have seen. It was a hilarious one with a horse that was trying to be trained to be a Budweiser commercial horse, but he fell short of that goal. But that was one of our real customers, and it was an exciting way to engage our client base. But in the last couple of years, if you've seen our Bank of Here ads on while you're watching any live sporting event, which is usually where I see them, then we believe that will start to draw some connectivity to the brand.
Well, myself personally, having lived in Columbus for several years, being familiar with the Synovus name and also knowing a lot of people that worked for the company, great company to work for, great reputation, you've kind of hit upon that. Let me ask you this, Chris, is you're obviously in a field that's very competitive. You guys are going through some rebranding. You've talked about how the bank and a lot of the folks that work for the bank are part of the community. If you're talking to a group of business people right now and they're trying to figure out where they want to do their financial services with, what separates you maybe from some of your competitors, and why should they use Bank of North Georgia, soon to be Synovus?
Well, our capabilities match those of our biggest bank competitors. Our delivery matches the community bank model. That's been the distinction of our company for years. What I would also underscore is that our business is built on trust. And if someone was choosing where to do their business, who to use as their banker, they would want that to be someone that they trust. Our Bank of Here campaign has really made an effort to underscore the fact that we're your neighbor, we're your kid's football coach, we're your chamber board member. And if you can't trust us, I'm not sure how to finish that sentence, but you should trust us.
Sure.
So we believe there's power in doing business with your neighbors. And
And even though Synovus is a major company, you've got that hometown feel. And how nice is it to be able to walk into a branch and you know, it's not just Chris who's your banker, but, you know, it's my kid's football coach. You know, there's that sense of camaraderie, you know, that friendship, that just feeling comfortable with somebody.
Absolutely.
So, and that's great stuff. For those that would like to find out more about the bank and the services that you offer, where can they get more information?
Quite easily at synovus.com, synvous.com. Anyone that's listening to this and would like to follow up with me and learn more about how to run a spread offense, or more importantly, a really good defense, or talk about commercial banking, could reach me directly at area code 678-832-2174.
Can they talk to you about special teams?
They can talk to me about special teams as long as they understand I hate to kick deep.
There's a squib kick every time, huh?
At this age, you kick what you can cover.
Seventh grade, exactly.
A good banker, defense first. I heard that.
Thanks so much for coming on in.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Mike, I want to remind everyone that Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000 square foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, a fantastic break room with outdoor patio, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com.
And I saw Allison this morning with Digital Ignition. They are giving away free hugs this morning.
Free hugs?
Yeah, did you get one on the way in?
I thought they did that every day. You just got yours, huh?
I just got mine.
We were here for a long time before you got yours.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Our next guest comes to us from the Swing Factory Golf Studio. So from a little bit of football to golf, it's Don Peterson. He is the owner of the Swing Factory Golf Studio. Good morning, Don, and tell us about your company.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. The Swing Factory is a golf studio. We are located 710 Holcomb Bridge Road. I've got about 5,000 square feet indoor training. And I moved from a smaller facility that was about 1,100 square feet into the larger facility so that I could have room for junior golf camps and lady golf clinics and things like that. But I'm looking to do you say in the South here, right? Expand it into more of a kind of a program where it's a membership-based facility. I'm not quite there yet. I need to add some people to help me instruct and some more equipment, but I want people coming in for 30, 60, 90-day programs. Golf is hard to learn, one lesson every 2 weeks. So I try to get people to come in. And you know, a lot of golf coaches have figured this out. You know, it's learning to swing a golf club is a little bit like training in a health club or something like that. You've got to put some time in, a little effort. Once you get an efficient motion, though, it kind of sticks with you. So that's the good thing.
You've got some unique teaching methods, and we're going to get to that, but you mentioned the facility, 5,000 square feet. When we walk through the doors, what are we going to see?
Well, you know, it's a little higher ceilings because we need room to swing, but obviously we've got netting and mats and launch monitors. We've got I've got a new program called Swing Guru, and we use a Xbox Kinect of all things, but it's a digital program where it uses infrared camera, and it tracks your shoulder turn versus your hip turn versus, it gives you so much information it's actually hard to detect and tell everybody, but it's fun to look at. It gives you a lot of information. And we have another thing called Blast. It's a motion sensor that you put on a club. There's so much computer technology now for analyzing data from golf swing that you kind of need an indoor facility like I have in order to use all of it. And at a golf course out on the driving range, you don't have room to use all of that. It's always nice to take what you learn right to the golf course and hit off the grass, but I think you can accomplish really a lot more in a short period of time indoors, and it's, you know, it's climate controlled, so there's a lot to teaching indoors.
No doubt, particularly the summers we have. But you're a published author as well, Don. So talk about your book, Baseball Golf. That seems a little bit like a contradiction in terms to some of us amateurs.
Well, I started the book years ago, and it original name was Step by Step Through the Swing Factory, which kind of goes along. But it was a kind of a circuit training book. And I always thought that if I broke the golf swing down into easy-to-learn parts, it'd be easier for people to learn. And so I started with a drill that I gave a guy one time. He was having a hard time tilting, which a lot of people do. You know, it's kind of hard to describe on the radio, but people don't rotate very well. They have a tendency to lift and tilt, and it gets them into poor positions for hitting a golf ball. So I had him imagine that he had a punch bowl in his hands, and this was like 25, 26 years ago, and it helped him. So that the first thing I thought was, well, I'm going to go buy a punch bowl because there's other people who have this problem. So that's what I did. And then I started thinking in terms of, okay, how can I expand upon this? And then I got a tee ball and I ended up getting a medicine ball. Now I teach I have several tools that I use and lots of different equipment. But going back to the book, I started writing down how to do the circuit training. And in the back of the book, I put, there was a chapter I had called Don't Blame Baseball. And I had that chapter in there because so many baseball players came to me and they told me how they stunk at golf because they were a baseball player. And I said, well, you don't stink because you're a baseball player. You stink because you think there's a big difference. Most of the baseball players would lift and try to swing the hands up high like they saw the golf pros on TV do. And sometimes that's not necessary. You know, I played golf with Mickey Mantle when I was at Harbor Club. I was the head pro down there for a while. Mickey Mantle was a tremendous golfer as well as baseball player. He could shoot par fairly easily. And he drew it back to waist high, kind of like Lee Trevino or some of the shorter swingers. But I think I told you right before we started, they recorded a 400-yard drive back when 300 yards was long time, you know, was long.
Sure.
So there's a lot to it. But anyway, I had a student who was a marketing guy, and he read my book, and he said, Don, he said, I think you ought to change the name to Baseball Golf. So I didn't like the name the first year, and then I wasn't selling too many copies with it the way it was. So I changed the name, but I also changed the book a little bit and made it more of a baseball, how to use your skills that you learn in baseball, like throwing and hitting and what the differences are. But I've actually gone back and rewritten the book and brought it back as Miyagi Golf. And that's a different version of it. But I went back to the whole circuit training type thing that I started out with, which is more of a how to learn to swing efficiently. Type. It's not a method. The baseball golf is kind of a method of how to swing, but I have a training style. They're actually quite a bit different things. A lot of people don't realize that. So the training style I have is kind of like, I call it Miyagi Golf because it's kind of like, I saw the movie Karate Kid years ago, and the first version, and I thought to myself, well, that's how I train golf, because I wax on, wax off, and paint the fence, and that type of thing. It's fancy words for proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, which I learned from another one of my students who was a physical therapist down in Emory. So she told me about that. And it's fancy words for muscle training. And I was doing a medicine ball drill with her, and she says, you do the same thing I do. I said, oh, tell me about it. So I ended up down at Emory with a woman named Cheryl Wardlaw, and I learned probably more from her than any golf professional I ever worked with, I hate to say, but because I've worked with some really good golf professionals as well. But she was fascinating in that some of the things she told me about how to teach and train. And as a physical therapist, I think that's kind of what we do as golf professionals. I guess we're psychiatrists, and we're physical trainers, and there's a lot that goes into golf instruction.
I'm assuming you're trained and licensed like all other golf instructors,
right?
Pro golf instructors.
I'm a PGA member. Yeah.
Okay. So, but your training method's a little unconventional.
Not so much anymore.
Well, how has it been accepted by other golf professionals? Do they look at you and go, you know, and they kind of shake their head a little bit? That's just, you know, because because it is different.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I've been doing similar training and had some of the same ideas for about 30 years. And I went down to one of the first PGA teaching and coaching summit. I mean, nobody was doing anything like this. And I got started in it. And it's like, nowadays, I see everybody kind of turning, and it's kind of funny. You know, there's so many different ways you can go with golf instruction. There's the art to it, and there's a science to it. And I see a lot of the young instructors, they're getting more and more into the science. You got to do both. But I used to grab all of the new teaching equipment when it came out. I mean, Sportech Golf Swing Analyzer back when, I mean, we're talking, again, like 25 years ago, I had a Sportech Golf Swing Analyzer, and it was a $12,800 computer that I purchased to train with. Well, after I got it, it's like, okay, well, it gives you all this information, but then I have to turn around and train the person. So it's like, I can get all this data and information from this computer, but it doesn't help me train. And that's kind of one of the things I learned from Cheryl Wardlaw, the physical therapist. You know, she had millions of dollars worth of equipment down there that they used for physical therapy. One of them was a balance machine, and there's lots of other things. I asked her to take me around and show me all that stuff. And she goes, Don, she goes, I couldn't tell you what half that stuff does. She goes, what's better than this? And she held up her two hands. And she says, I can feel what's going on. I can sense what's going on. I can hear what's going on. And nothing can replace that. So it's kind of the same thing with golf instruction. You know, I'm kind of a hands-on teacher. You've got to push and pull and tug on people to get them to feel things and to get them in the right positions, or you know, there's lots to it. And you can't pick all that up from looking at numbers on a machine. So, but there's stuff that's interesting from the computers as well. So put it all together, and I guess we'll get somewhere someday.
Don Peterson's our guest here. He's with the Swing Factory Golf Studio. What's a typical person that walks through your doors? Who is your clients and your students that come through the doors? Are they do they run the gamut?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a typical. That's a good question. But you know, there's a lot of juniors. I've got some really good junior players that come in, and I'm teaching four girls on the Roswell High School golf team. And I shouldn't say four; there might be five now. I don't know, but they're doing quite well. They did well in state last year, and I expect them to win the next year or two. I get a lot of girls that, and the fathers know that it's an easy scholarship right now. If you can play a little bit of golf as a high school girl, you can go out and get a scholarship for college fairly quickly or easily. So I'm training a lot of them. I get women, I get men, you know, professional men. So I appreciate being invited on this show because I'm hoping to pick up some more of those. But yeah, I mean, golf is the fastest growing sport in the world. A lot of people don't know that because it's declining in the United States, but around the world, golf's still the fastest growing sport there is.
So whether you're a weekend hacker like myself that just is god awful, or someone who plays all the time, just wants to polish the game a little bit, the Swing Factory Golf Studio is a good place to go visit.
Yeah, in fact, my training style is kind of funny because I developed it, I guess, kind of for beginners. But one of the things that I found out was when you take the club and the ball away, you can retrain people a lot faster. And I have some methods, like you said. I have a larger ball that I train with because it's actually a baseball-sized ball. So it makes it easier. And I find that people get in better positions when they're not so intimidated by trying to hit a little tiny golf ball off the ground. So if you put it in the air, and sometimes I train people at knee high and ankle high and shin high, making more like a baseball swing, they actually have better rotation. They swing better. They become what I used to call centrifugal, but I don't anymore because there's so many people that say centripetal.
Muscle memory, though. I mean, if you're swinging higher, though, and you're not going to be doing that on a real golf course.
Well, you tilt towards the ball. So in a baseball swing, your spine is straight up and down. You're vertical. So you swing horizontal because your spine is vertical. If a baseball comes in low, the baseball player doesn't reach down with his arms. He tilts more. If you watch what happens, a high fastball, the spine stays upright. So you just rotate. I've got a little thing I call the pin and the rubber band, and I have people clip a rubber band underneath the clip of a pin, and then you twirl it. And it looks like a propeller going around. Then you tilt that thing towards the ground. You know, if you tilt it towards a baseball, it'd be vertical. But then if you tilt it towards the ground, you're on an inclined plane. So, yeah, you tilt towards the golf ball on the ground once you learn to swing, you know, knee high, ankle high, or waist high. So I mean, it makes it easier. And it's also a better way for golfers who have a terrible golf swing. And I see a lot of them. If you learn improperly and you don't want to use that swing anymore because you keep shooting over 100 with it, then come in and let us retrain you, because it's easy to do if you take the club and the ball away, retrain, and then you reintroduce with better motion. And there is a best way for the body. There's a most efficient way. We learn that about other sports. And in fact, you know, everyone's talking about core training and everything nowadays, and that's exactly what I've been doing for years. So it's learning to use your core most efficiently to propel your arms back and forth. Your arms should be kind of like wet noodles just flying around your body. Now, once you learn how to do it right, that's what it feels like, rather than all this effort that people put into it with their motor muscles, biceps and triceps. Not so good for golf.
Sure. Now, Don, you provide corporate golf entertainment. Talk about what that is, what that means.
Yeah, I started doing that quite a few years ago and trying to get back into it. Believe it or not, it kind of died off there for a while. But corporations are starting to spend more money on entertaining. So, now it's a lot easier to take your equipment. I can take iPads and iPhones basically and go entertain it. But we set up an AstroTurf, you know, hitting area along with nets, and I can provide swing analysis, but you can do long drive close to the pin. There's all kinds of things. Recently, I went and set up a whole golf school for someone. So we brought all my training tools and set up and actually provided training for their clients indoors. And I've done, you know, trade shows. I'll go in and set up and provide kind of an entertainment. It's kind of funny. I'm a draw for corporations. They'll have me at a trade show and I'll draw people into the booth. So, you know, it takes a little bit of space. I need about a 12 by 20 foot area, but I've worn a wireless mic and put something up on a big screen and everybody stops and watches. So it's a good draw.
Very cool. Before we let you go, Don, is there a success story that you want to share with us? Maybe somebody came through your doors and they were having some major problems or major issues. You saw their swing, like, oh goodness. And now they're, you know, out there, you know, playing, you know, par golf.
You know, this is kind of a funny story, but I was sitting with a bunch of pros about, it was a Cracker Barrel session. They split up and it was all teaching professionals. So we were sitting at a table of eight people and everyone was going around talking about different things and what it took to be a good teaching professional. And I just, you know, I'm kind of an honest guy. And I said, well, tell you the truth. I said, I've teared up a few times, you know, after lessons. And everyone looked at me like I was goofy. And I go, no one's ever done that. And you know, I've actually had people that were so elated with what I've taught them that they were so passionate about learning the game that I kind of teared up, you know, knowing that I'd helped them. So that's happened, you know, I don't cry all the time, but I am pretty passionate about what I do. And, but yeah, when you help someone with something that they've never, you know, and I've had people, it's kind of funny with the internet now, I've got people coming from all over the country. I just had a doctor flying from New York. He's a member at Wingfoot. I'm sure he's got some of the finest teaching professionals in the world at Wingfoot, but he liked my YouTube videos, and I'll give myself a plug here. I got a nice YouTube channel. It's doing real well. It's youtube.com/MrBBGolf, and that stands for, you know, it's MRBB, like baseball, Mr. BB Golf. But anyway, he watched some of my videos, and he said, I want to come down and see you. So he flew down and sat outside. He had a limo driver sit outside and wait for him for 4 hours while he took lessons. And I had guys come up from South Florida, South Georgia. I've got them coming from quite a ways. It's interesting.
So if Charles Barkley is listening, then he needs to be in touch with you, right?
Yeah, well, you know.
The most infamous bad swing there
nobody
is.
Nobody can
right?
help Barkley. Nobody.
I didn't really like what happened with him on the Golf Channel when I saw that. I thought that was, I hate to say this, but I didn't like that.
What did they do? What did they do?
What Mr. Haney did. And they
tried to fix his golf swing?
Well, it's just some of the techniques I didn't think were quite what I would do. But, you know, that's why we have lots of different teachers, techniques, and styles. So,
where is the Swing Factory Golf Studio located?
710 Holcomb Bridge Road. We're on the west side, and we're pretty close to Roswell. The Aurora Cineplex is not too far away, but we're right on the intersection of Old Roswell Road, which a lot of people know. There's a Brunswick Bowling Alley back there behind us, but we're in Suite 100. Suite 100.
And for those that would like to find out more about the Swing Factory Golf Studio, where can they get more information about visiting, about lessons, about you?
Swingfactory.com, www.swingfactory.com. My number there at the studio is 678-992-5600.
Great. Don Peterson with the Swing Factory Golf Studio. Great stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Mike Roswell Infinity is one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country, and they aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter.
All right, John, another show is in the books. I want to thank our guest, Chris Mixon with the Bank of North Georgia, a division of Synovus Bank, and Don Peterson, the Swing Factory Golf Studio. A quick reminder, you can listen to this episode anytime you want, 24/7. By going to NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com. In fact, you can listen to any of our shows anytime by going to the website. Also, check us out on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, and subscribe to us on iTunes. And we have a YouTube channel, which is mostly our Gwinnett Studio shows, but go there as well to check out some of the stuff from that studio as well.
Now, did you bring your clubs?
No. I didn't want to say anything on the air, but since you brought that up, I swing a baseball bat right-handed.
Yes.
I swing a hockey stick left-handed. I play golf left-handed. I'm messed up.
You are messed up.
Because I will actually swing left or right, and I will putt left or right, whatever I feel like.
I don't think I'd keep the limo driver waiting. You're going to need more than 4 hours.
Yeah. Don would have his hands full with me.
I think so.
For sure.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Well, not to mention me.
You'll take the challenge,
yeah,
he says.
Okay. He will.
Yep. Well, he has no idea what he's asking for.
Yep.
So anyway, thanks to our guest. For John Ray, I'm Mike Sam, and thanks to Trey for producing. We'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.